The fabled Ark of the Covenant, the location of Noah's Ark, archaeological artifacts containing inscriptions of biblical characters. More than just good legends and movie storylines, finding these artifacts supplies historical proof of the Bible. There are many theories of the whereabouts of the Ark of the Covenant, but what about the lost tribes of Israel? What happened to those people? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
It's an amazing story, the unprecedented rise of the English-speaking peoples to their dominant positions of power and influence over the modern world. History shows that their rise to greatness began in the turmoil of the Protestant Reformation. Having broken from Rome and faced with the combined hostility of both the Continental Church and Imperial Spain, then the most powerful nation in the world, England began to look beyond the seas for her security and trade. Explorers were sent throughout the world during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I, which led to the establishment of colonies and later developed into the United States of America and the nations of the British Commonwealth. Historians have called these countries revolutionary empires. Why has history been so benevolent and economically generous to Britain and the United States? Why have they been blessed so favorably over the nations that preceded them in history? Is it possible that the Bible holds the keys to the rise of these two remarkable powers? Darris McNeely, managing editor of World News and Prophecy, joins us once again in our Good News Radio studio. Darris, it's always a pleasure to have you with us.
Good to be with you once again, Gary.
Okay, we're talking about the United States and Britain, and we're talking about prophecy. There is an often ignored prophecy in Genesis chapter 49. Now, what's that passage about?
This prophecy in Genesis 49 sums up much of the story of Genesis. It comes down to a final scene in the life of the patriarch Jacob, who called his sons together. And the story begins in Genesis 49 in the first verse. He called his sons almost around a bedside gathering there and a last bit of advice from a father to these 12 powerful sons. He said, "Gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days." Now, this is a very critical marker in terms of Bible prophecy and understanding the subject of prophecy as it relates to this. Jacob, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, is describing to his sons what their lot, what their descent, the descendants from them will be doing in that the period that the Bible talks of as the last days. Now, that's another subject for another program, but the latter days, the end time, refers to all of those events that the prophecies in the Bible talk about and the age leading up to the immediate return of Jesus Christ.
But we know then this prophecy is not about then.
It's not about the sons of Jacob at this time. It's about their descendants stretching and spanning the centuries from that time forward. And he goes through each one of them here. He lists each one of them, beginning with his firstborn, Reuben, and moving through his sons before him. What is interesting to come down to, and the one that we are focusing on in this program, because you've already introduced the subject of the modern nations of Great Britain and the United States and their position in the world today in these last days, when we look at Genesis 49 and the message to Jacob's sons, the one we want to focus on is his son Joseph and what Jacob says about them, beginning in verse 22. He says to Joseph that he is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. Now, Joseph's story in the book of Genesis was a great blessing to the whole family. Remember, he was the one who spared not only Egypt, but his own family from catastrophe through the circumstances that took place in his life. He mentions that the archers had bitterly grieved him and shot at him and hated him. They would receive certain opposition and animosity, but he would remain in strength and the arms of his hands would be made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, verse 24. So his strength and his blessing comes from God. And he said, "By the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lie beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb, the blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors. Joseph's descendants would receive and be the inheritors, it seems here in the last days, of tremendous material blessings. And the key to look in our time is the fulfillment of those blessings. To whom? Who fulfilled those? And when we look at history, when we look at the history of our times, in the last few hundred years especially, there really are only two nations that stand out in the modern world who can fit the description that is made here to Joseph and his descendants in the last days, and that's the United States and Great Britain.
Is it possible that the Bible holds the keys to the rise of these two remarkable powers? We'll be right back.
Where does the United States of America appear in Bible prophecy? What was behind the surprising rise and sudden fall of the British Empire? Why is the U.S. at the peak of its power? It's an amazing story. The unprecedented rise of the English-speaking peoples to dominant positions of power and influence over the modern world. To learn more about the astounding Bible prophecies about the United States, be sure to request your free copy of the United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy. Call now, 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy, you'll discover the truth of this surprising story. What will happen to you as these prophecies unfold? Call 1-800-966-9232. There's no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Darris McNeely, managing editor of World News and Prophecy, joins us once again in our Good News Radio studio. Now, I think part of the problem is a lot of people, when they study the Bible, they see Israel. And, of course, there were 12 tribes. Now, right. Most people associate the word Israel with Jew. Is that assumption true?
No, not entirely. What needs to be understood in this historical story from the book of Genesis and really the Old Testament, the 12 sons of Jacob gave rise to the 12 tribes of Israel. They came out of slavery in Egypt under Moses. They became a nation in the promised land according to what God gave them and the promise to Abraham. That nation became known as Israel. It was composed of these 12 tribes grown from the 12 sons of Jacob. Later on in their history, that nation came to a division, and there was a nation of Israel in the north. There was a nation known as Judah in the south, with its capital at Jerusalem. The nation of Judah was comprised essentially of the tribe of Judah, along with Benjamin and parts of the tribes of Levi, and that is the nation that we see that endured throughout history and really endured in its whole identity. But that was the one tribe of Judah, which was only one of the 12 sons or the 12 tribes of Israel. So all Jews are Israelites, but not all Israelites are Jews. And that is a mark of a demarcation point for a lot of people when they study into the Bible and look at the Bible and the Jews and relating them. They don't understand that distinction, that there were 10 or 11 other tribes beyond the Jews to comprise what is Israel, and that the Jews are not the totality of the nation of Israel.
Now, you had mentioned, of course, they had become two nations, and you can read about that in the Bible. And we do know that, as you had mentioned, the northern tribe, or tribes, that it were called Israel, they were destroyed by the Assyrians.
Right, in the eighth century,
okay,
B.C.
They just sort of are gone from history from a lot of people's viewpoint, and Judah is the only one left.
Right.
Now, from a biblical viewpoint, we look at prophecies, and of course we're talking about here prophecies concerning the end time. Are there prophecies at the end time that talk about Israel and Judah as different identities?
Yes. One is in Ezekiel chapter 38, a very important prophecy that, again, has a setting in what we call in biblical terms the millennium, or the period after the return of Jesus Christ to this earth to establish his kingdom, the kingdom of God on the earth. In Ezekiel 38, Ezekiel has this vision that comes from God of the nation of two sticks. It's the vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones that everyone's familiar with from the old folk song.
The old spiritual,
that's right. And they get brought back to life. And as that prophecy unfolds in the vision to Ezekiel, it's like two sticks that God likens them to, one being Israel and the other being Judah, the two nations that had divided after the death of Solomon earlier in their history. They're being brought back together and they're made one. And in the prophecy, God goes on to show that through a resurrection that the Bible speaks of so many of the patriarchs, King David is going to be the king once again over a united Israel. In his own lifetime, David was the king over a united nation. He was never a king over a divided people. In the kingdom of God, in the millennium that the Bible speaks of, David is going to once again rule over those two nations brought back together. They were two entities, and historically, God's going to restore that breach. He's going to heal it, bring it back together after Christ's return.
So they're called the lost tribes.
Lost 10 tribes of Israel in history, a very famous phrase and subject.
But obviously there's still a future for those people. Now, does the Bible give us, or is there any historical evidence outside the scripture that would let us know, at least have some idea of what happened to those people?
Well, in history, as you've already mentioned, the northern 10-tribe nation known as Israel with its capital at Samaria, they were taken captive late in the 8th century by the Assyrian nation. They ceased to exist, and any trace and record of them seems to have disappeared according to the traditional view of history, and they are called then the lost 10 tribes of history. Keep in mind, that's the historical perspective. From the biblical perspective and from God's perspective, Israel has never been lost. We find many scriptures that teach us from the Old Testament and the New Testament that God knows exactly where Israel is, and he will regather them. We just mentioned Ezekiel 38. But from a historical perspective, as people look at it today, they were lost from history. But there are markers that we can look at and understand from history, and this would be material largely disputed by a lot of people. We recognize that. But in the period of time after the fall of Samaria and the captivity of Israel, there are appearance of various peoples in the Black and Caspian Sea area, in the area of what is now southern Russia, northern Iran, that area. That peoples who came on the scene about that time, whose history and origins are not exactly understood. Some historians look at that, and because of certain archaeological evidence, certain linguistic evidence, they make a connection to these tribes of Israel that the Bible speaks of. That can be disputed. That's true. The remnants and the fragments of history on any particular subject of that period of time can be disputed by anyone, regardless of the subject. We recognize that. But when we look at the development of those peoples and subsequent nations in Northwest Europe, the British Isles, and the United States experience, there are a number of factors that help us to match up with some of these descriptions that we find from the scriptures about Joseph and his descendants and the nations that would be in the time of the end, that help us to match and understand exactly what God has done in his faithfulness in bringing to pass certain prophecies.
Is it possible to identify the modern descendants of the lost tribes of Israel? We'll be back to tackle that question right after this.
Where does the United States of America appear in Bible prophecy? It's an amazing story. In our free booklet, The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy, you'll discover the truth of this surprising story. What will happen to you as these prophecies unfold? Call 1-800-966-9232. There's no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
You're listening to Good News Radio with guest Darris McNeely. We've been discussing the lost tribes of Israel. Now, we ended last segment with the question, is it possible to identify the modern descendants of the lost tribes of Israel?
Well, Gary, that is a fascinating question because we're living in very interesting times. Biblically, prophetically, we believe we are living in the times at the close of the age, the last days, the biblical latter days. And if we're going to understand what the Bible's message is, if we're going to understand certain prophecies, then this is a very important question for us to look at. There is a plausible explanation. And when we look back in the scriptures to a very important scene in Genesis chapter 48, this predates what we were talking about earlier in Genesis 49, where Jacob had his 12 sons gathered around his bedside as he was dying. In Genesis 48, Jacob had had an audience with his one son, Joseph, who had two sons named Ephraim and Manasseh. And because of the period of separation and all, he wanted to perhaps get a better acquainted. And he was passing on something very important, the blessing that had been given to him by his father and by God. And he called to his bedside Joseph with his two sons. And Joseph brought them in Genesis 48, beginning in verse 12, to Jacob's bedside. And Israel, it says in verse 14, which was really another name for Jacob, he says he stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph, by inference, their father, but it was a blessing that was going to these two boys. And he basically passed on what is the bulk of the birthright blessing that was given to him, first given to his grandfather Abraham, and he passes that on to Joseph and his descendants. And Joseph in the story here saw in verse 17 that Joseph had laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger. And, of course, tradition had it that the right hand would carry the dominant blessing, and that should have gone on the head of the older individual, which was Manasseh in this case, and it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to him, no, my father, for he's the firstborn, put your right hand on his head. But his father refused in verse 19, and that's the critical verse. And he said, I know my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. So here we have this blessing being passed on to Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And he says, let this blessing be upon them, and may God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. When we look into this period of the last days to find a historical fulfillment of a great nation, a single great nation, and a multitude of nations that have become great, there can be no other scene for us to fix upon than what has happened in the last few hundred years, particularly the last 200 years, with the rise of Great Britain to an empire that stretched around the world for many years. The byword was that the sun never sat upon the British Empire. They became a multitude of nations, a great world empire stretching virtually around the globe. The United States came out of that empire with the revolution in the period of 1776 and our own history, and grew ultimately to become a very powerful nation. And today it is well recognized that America has become the greatest single nation on the face of the earth. And so if we are to look at verse 19 and try to find a modern fulfillment or even any ancient fulfillment, in the ancient histories, we would be hard-pressed to find something that would fit this beyond what we have in our own modern world with what's taken place with America and Great Britain today.
And, of course, it's interesting that these promises aren't to Judah. They are to a different son.
They are to Joseph, one of the younger sons, next to the youngest son of Jacob. It has nothing to do with the promises of a separate area to Judah. They deal only with Joseph.
Now, if this is a plausible explanation, are there biblical prophecies then that we can say apply directly to the United States and Britain?
I think this is one right here, Genesis 48 and verse 19, that has to be a prime one that helps us to begin to look to that. And then, of course, when you understand the identity of modern Joseph in these two nations, being the United States being a descendant of Manasseh, and the peoples of Great Britain being a descendant of Ephraim, then with that understanding, and keep in mind in this prophecy of Genesis 48 that Israel, or Jacob, was saying, "Let my name be upon them." And so he placed his name, which was Israel, upon these two sons. From that point forward in the prophecies, then as we study what God said about Israel, not only historically, but certain prophecies that can only be fulfilled in Israel in the last days and in the period after the coming of Christ, times of time of restoration, then we have to understand that to find a modern application of those prophecies about Israel, if that name was placed upon Ephraim and Manasseh, then we're looking at the descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh, the United States and Great Britain, as being modern-day inheritors of many of those same prophecies, both of blessing and of prophetic cursing that we read about in the book of Deuteronomy and in the book of Leviticus chapter 26. Then we find that having tremendous application to our peoples today.
Now, this isn't a new idea. In the last century, it was called British Israelitism. And many times, this interpretation has been used to maybe justify a sort of Anglo-Saxon racial superiority. And people have accused this interpretation of creating that. How do you answer that accusation?
Well, that's a major accusation that is made to discredit any type of teaching or idea that we've been talking about today. There are a number of different ways to approach that. First of all, I think, Gary, we have to look and realize that even Ephraim and Manasseh themselves came from a mixed beginning. Joseph married a daughter of an Egyptian while he was living in Egypt and second in command to Pharaoh. And so, regardless of all the other details that might be there, we have to recognize that there was a bit of a mixture there with a nation outside of Israel. Beyond that, when we look at the Genesis or the beginning of the promise that God made in this whole subject, we go back to Genesis 12 and verse 3. And God said to Abraham that in you, in your descendants, will all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, that has a primarily spiritual fulfillment through Jesus Christ. But it's part of the same promise and the same blessings that deal with national greatness that we're talking about in this subject. And we have to realize that God had to begin somewhere. And he began with one man to begin to work his purpose and his plan in humanity. And he began with a man named Abraham, for reasons that we don't all have laid out for us in the scriptures. And he began with one man and his family. And because of that promise, because of that faithfulness of Abraham, his descendants have been the inheritors of tremendous physical blessings. That's one of the facts of history. That's one of the unique understandings about the Bible. We have to leave that in God's hands to finally give us a full understanding of that. That is his will, his judgment, and his purpose, and his great eternal plan. But to label this subject and this discussion as something that is racist gets beyond the biblical teaching on the subject, and usually is used to distract people into teachings that aren't quite right.
Now, you mentioned Jesus Christ. Obviously, what you and I are talking about today, salvation comes through Jesus Christ.
Correct.
So this isn't a salvation issue. So let me ask you, what importance does this have to the person listening today?
Well, it isn't a salvation issue in that sense. There have been a lot of people who will be saved in God's kingdom that perhaps have not had this full knowledge and understanding. This is an understanding that helps us to put in a proper perspective our world today. Keep in mind that we are dealing with prophecies that deal with the latter days. And when we look at our age and what has brought us to this point, this knowledge and understanding of what God is doing in history and doing with the nations, not just Israel and its descendants, but all tribes, all peoples, this key of understanding is so important, so unique, to help us understand God's great purpose and plan throughout the ages, from Genesis to Revelation. If there is one piece of literature that we can put into our listeners' hands that will help them understand their present world and the world to come, it's this booklet, The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy, that we're talking about today. It's a big subject, it's an important subject, but it's one of hope that helps people to understand this world and the world to come.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but in a moment, we're going to tell you how to get a hold of that booklet. Darris, thanks for being with us today.
Glad to be here.
And why were you born? Well, there's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Where does the United States of America appear in Bible prophecy? What was behind the surprising rise and sudden fall of the British Empire? Why is the U.S. at the peak of its power? It's an amazing story, the unprecedented rise of the English-speaking peoples to dominant positions of power and influence over the modern world. To learn more about the astounding Bible prophecies about the United States, be sure to request your free copy of The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy. Call now, 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy, you'll discover the truth of this surprising story. What will happen to you as these prophecies unfold? Call 1-800-966-9232. There's no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The number again is 1-800-966-9232, or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.